Architecture Talks, the podcast about architecture from Jung.
I was always amazed by the size of the city, and especially here in China, you have such a high speed of development, just fascinating for me.
15 years ago, the German architect Thomas Fritzsche ventured a new beginning and moved to Shanghai. A lot has happened since then. In China, 75 buildings have been completed and even more major projects are in the stage of planning. German values are still known as a feature of quality, but China is converting. It seems as if time runs faster there than in the rest of the world. Structural experiments are expanded and developed quicker. Instead of mass, their focus is more and more on quality and sustainability. This shift, however, gives many opportunities to new, interesting potentials, starting with the role of architects in society to the use of smart technologies. In today's podcast episode, we talk to our guest Thomas Fritzsche from Thomas Fritzsche Architects about his fascination for constructing in China. We are Diane and
Katrina from Jung. Your studio, Thomas, has designed and completed a big variety of projects, such as business parks, office buildings, and workspace interiors. Thomas Fritzsche Architects consistently developed a strong expertise and is well known as a forward-thinking specialist for creating workspaces in China. As a member of the DGNB, you believe that the quality of our environment directly influences the quality of our entire life. The only way to achieve good quality is sustainable design. Hello and welcome to our Jung Architecture Talks podcast. Nice to have you with us, Thomas.
Hello from Shanghai.
You live in Shanghai since 15 years and still get excited when you talk about the city and its skyline. What is so fascinating to you about the country, the people, and the opportunities, as like within the last years, so many things changed?
I think it is just amazing to live in such a big city. I have always loved to visit cities, and I was always amazed by the size of the city, the speed of development, and especially here in China, you have such a high speed of development. It's just fascinating for me. And of course, as an architect, this gives us a lot of opportunities.
You moved from Stuttgart to Shanghai. Wasn't that kind of a culture clash?
Of course, it was a different culture here. Things here are just much faster and things are changing so quickly here. And nothing is fixed and nothing lasts for long. Let's say 20 years in Stuttgart are probably 2 years here in China. And that's really an amazing experience here.
So to you personally, Thomas, what are actually the biggest cultural differences between Germany or Europe and China?
The biggest difference was and still is the communication. People here in China are more thinking about how do their counterparts react when they say something. So you never know what really is the meaning of what people tell you. And it's really difficult to understand sometimes, even if you have a good translator, what your Chinese partner is telling you. So you have to get used to this and you have to learn to read between the lines much more than in Germany. Nobody would ever say here, I don't like your design. And people would rather search for a way to describe it in a different way that they don't like what you designed. So this is still a problem for me.
How was the first step in China for you? Like, what personal experiences did you have with your first clients and projects as a German architect in China?
The first experience was 15 years ago that people are welcoming German architects very much here, and people are listening very carefully to what you say. They were fascinated by our technology. Chinese clients are driving our German cars and they know German technology is reliable. So the first experience was that you have the opportunity to convince clients of what you want to do and they are listening very carefully. But Most of the clients at that time were not very experienced in building houses or doing developments. So we had to think much more than we do in Germany, where you mostly sit together with a specialist from the client side. Here you sit together rather with an amateur. That was 15 years ago. Today that has changed.
Business for foreign architects in China has changed, as you said, during the last years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does this mean for you and your office in particular with a team of almost 100 employees?
Let's say again, 15 years ago, clients did not know so much about how to build an office park, for example. So we had to tell them what is important in an office park, how to mix the different functions in an office park, how to cut the unit sizes. Today, clients have been traveling a lot, so they would tell you that they have been, for example, to India, to Japan, and to Korea, and they have visited office parks, and they chose a certain form of office park, and now they want you to do something similar. So today, the clients know much more, and the clients are a partner much more on eye level when it's about the knowledge or expertise. So you have to be prepared much more than before. You have to be on the same level as the clients. And that is challenging because usually we can't travel so much and we are not traveling around to India or so on. So it is a different situation now, but it is challenging and the clients are more demanding. And I think that is good for us as well because we don't get lazy. We have to learn more and more and to learn constantly.
You're talking about the clients who changed their requirements on quality within architecture. How about your team, the team quality, like young architects, Chinese architects are studying more and more worldwide. They are like leaving China for a year, coming back. Is there any change you feel within the last years?
Yes, there are big changes, I would say. Longer ago, maybe young architects were just draftsmen. They were just doing what you wanted them to do. And today's young architects, they have their own ideas or they have further developed ideas. So you need to discuss more with them. You need to explain why you want something like this or like that. It is more challenging, but it is better teamwork then. And you're not just seen as the leader of a team. They check what you know and they want to ask you questions to understand everything that you do. And that is, again, a good development for a better teamwork, I would say.
How international is your team? Is it mostly Chinese employees or do you have a mix of nationalities?
We have mostly Chinese people in our office. Today, we have in general less foreign people in China or in Shanghai especially. So we have maybe 10% of foreign people here. And that is not an easy thing because the education in foreign countries in architecture is probably different to the education here. So it is sometimes difficult to put foreigners together with Chinese people in a team.
Is the age also an issue? So the average age of your team or how they work together?
No, the age is not the main problem. The main problem is that, let's say, European architects have a certain experience on the construction side, and most Chinese architects do not have this. So Chinese architects would quicker produce something that would please the clients, or they would produce something probably more interesting, more spectacular. And Western architects, they are a little bit more questioning what we do and they are more thinking about the construction. And this leads sometimes to problem, especially when it comes to the speed of a project here. We can balance it somehow, but it's sometimes a problem.
The part of an architect in China, we've already mentioned it before, has switched from a supplier to a co-designer of the future. The built environment, which in turn also influences society. What potential and opportunities do you see here?
In China, you have more opportunities to influence the society because the role of an architect here is a little bit different to Germany. As I mentioned before, in Germany, you talk on the client side to specialists. The clients know what they exactly want. most of the clients, and especially professional clients. And in China, the clients are much more open, so they would rather want to have a whole concept for a project. Let's say, for example, an office park. If we design an office park, we just start by finding the design brief together with the client. That means we are helping the client to define, for example, the function mix, and we help the clients in general to find the direction of a project. So we can then influence the whole direction of a project, which means in the case of office parks, for example, we have much more influence on the atmosphere in an office park, on the way how people would work together. And I think this is not so possible in Germany, where clients have a clear idea because they probably made a very deep research before they started to talk to an architect.
Would you say that Europe can learn from China in terms of technology transfer or being more experimental?
I would say Europe can learn from China, definitely. Let's say in Europe, or especially in Germany, I would say we are thinking longer before we do the first sketch. And in China, we have more the atmosphere of try and error. People here are willing to try something new, and they would then learn during the development of a project. This mood of try and error, or this way of try and error, we could also use a little bit more in Germany, where we talk sometimes too long before we start something.
Well, the Germans like to discuss a lot.
Yes.
Thomas, you're currently working on the research project, a sustainable office tower. What do you express with this self-initiated project, and what is your goal?
We have been working a lot on office buildings, office parks, and so on. And we always try to convince our clients to do a building more sustainable or a whole project more sustainable. And most of our clients wanted just to make quick money, let's say it like this, or they were just not interested in energy saving and so on. So we were a little bit tired of trying to convince the clients. And then we had the idea to develop a project on our own and to use this project to show to clients how an office building could look like if you combine, let's say, modern workplace trends with sustainable architecture. And with this idea, we went to different clients and tried to convince them. And we found people were listening and people were very interested. Of course, they don't have the same plot at the moment, but they were interested to cooperate on this idea further. We found that many clients just had no idea how these buildings could look like or how this building would function. So we developed this project, and I think it was a good decision.
Is the atmosphere or the experience an important decision maker for them?
Absolutely. I think in China, it is a lot about experience and about atmosphere. People always say here that a project needs to touch your heart. In Germany, probably projects are sometimes very, very rational, very cold. And here in China, you want to have a certain sensation when you go into a building. This applies not only for malls or for shopping streets, it applies also for offices. The atrium of an office, the entrance atmosphere, that should always be something very special or very well considered.
Where do you inspire yourself?
I'm traveling a lot. When I'm traveling, I'm always walking and walking around, like in Vienna a few years ago. I love to see old cities, and I'm fascinated by the idea that we still, after so many years, let's say 200 years and so on, we still see these old cities and we still love these old cities. So I get my inspiration rather from old buildings, from old cities.
Many German architects working in China, they're trying to convince their clients to keep the old buildings within the construction site. So if they are there, how is your experience with this? Like keeping the tradition? Are the people changing a little bit?
Absolutely changing. They are changing, yes. Today, people or clients don't tear down every building anymore. They try to keep as much as possible. But of course, the problem was that if you have a plot, let's say in Shanghai, and there are buildings just with two floors on it, and you could build buildings with 33 floors on it, you could earn much more money. So before, people were just not willing to keep old buildings. But today, the government has changed the regulations, so old buildings have to be kept. And I think this is an absolutely good thing, because too many Chinese cities have lost their identity. And if you keep some old buildings, you can keep a little bit identity. And we have a lot of old buildings here in China, or in Shanghai especially, that today are kept and are used as art centers and so on. And it's a good thing, I believe.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the French Quarter in Shanghai, which is beautiful. Yeah, and the hutongs, like going through the hutongs to the real traditional ones is a fantastic experience for Europeans.
Absolutely, yes.
So what would you suggest German or European visitors coming to China the first time?
Of course, I would suggest to see some old cities like Xi'an and to go to Beijing, of course, because Beijing is more Chinese, I believe, than Shanghai is. And like you mentioned, the French Quarter, I would always recommend to visit it. But we also have a lot of super modern buildings and very highly developed architecture. When I think about Germany, we have good architecture, definitely, and we have a very rational architecture. But here in Shanghai, especially, you have so many highlight buildings because you have all the famous architects from all around the world building in Shanghai. So it is an amazing situation for architects to visit Shanghai, to see the new buildings, to see the contrast to the old buildings. Me, myself, I'm always walking around here and always find something new. It's never ending, I think.
Thomas, we have a personal question. Where do you think will we meet you in about 10 years? Will you still stay in Shanghai or any other destination?
Actually, I'm not sure about this. As I said before, I love big cities. And recently I read we have actually almost 30 million people here in Shanghai. And this is fascinating me. But last summer, I've been to North Germany and I went through many, many small, beautiful villages. And I also liked this very much. But I'm not sure if I can live in such a society of a small village. I would probably feel being watched, or I would probably get bored a little bit. But I'm also not sure if I can be here in 10 years. I would then be 72, and maybe Shanghai is not a city to get really old. But I'm not sure yet. We will see.
You could move from village to village in North Germany.
Recently, I thought the building I live in has 180 apartments. So let's say 600 people live there in one building. And I live only in one, and we have 15 of these buildings next to us. So it is like 3,000 people, or how many is that? No, it is much more. And I grew up in a town in Germany in Unterfranken, which has 11,000 people. So my compound has almost so many people. So I'm not sure where I want to live later on. We will see.
We'll ask you in 10 years again.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Well, Thomas, that sounds like a great plan, everything, actually. We send a lot of greetings to Shanghai. It was a great pleasure talking and listening to you. To say it in Chinese, Shai Jian, and take care.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me to talk to you.
Many thanks to our listeners as well. We're looking forward to share our upcoming Jung Architecture Talks podcasts with you. Tune in on jung.de/architects.